Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, The Secret to Success with God. As a Christian, are you striving to please the Lord with your life? In this message, we are going to look at the type of people that God prefers. This may initially cause confusion because the Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons, but the scriptures also clearly show that God had more pleasure in certain individuals. Noah is the first such man. He was famous for building the ark that saved his family from the flood, but there is more to it than that. Noah walked with God, trusted him implicitly, and never wavered in his faith. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, this message will certainly whet your appetite. It is entitled, Noah, a Man of Perseverance. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on February 13th, 2011. And today I'm going to be speaking to you about the secret to succeed with God. The secret to succeed with God. And we're going to look upon a man today by the name of Noah. So let's stand and let's pray as we get into the message. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we have here today to study your word, to get into it. And not only to learn, Father God, but also to live it in such a way that we shall be victorious. And I thank you, and I praise you for that now. Father God, anoint me, anoint the listeners, that Father God, together, we shall be moving in your Holy Spirit and receive all the benefits you have for us. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I would like for you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. That is the book of Isaiah, the 57th chapter. And I'm excited about this message, and I hope that you will get excited also. Isaiah 57, verse number 15. And we read this. For thus says the high and lofty one inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. Excuse me, let me back up to Isaiah 55. I'm running ahead of myself here. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, wouldn't you like to know how God thinks? Wouldn't you like to get insight, so to say, and find out what does God really think? How does he live? And today, we're going to get in and look upon that. Let me go back down to Isaiah chapter 57, and I want to pick it up now from verse number 16. Here's what God said. I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the soul I have made. He's simply saying this, I'm not going to be angry forever, because you and I cannot stand it. We will die. For the iniquity of his covetousness was our wrath. Smote him I hid me, and I was wroth, and he went on fervently in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comfort unto him and to his mourners. God is saying now, I have seen your affliction. I will lead you. I will comfort you. I will restore you. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that's far off, and to him that's near, says the Lord, I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, which it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There's no peace, says my God, to the wicked. God is going to deal one way with the wicked and one way with his people. And this is exciting. And now I want you to think about this. Who does God prefer? Now, the Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. But can God prefer someone over someone else? In Romans 2:11, we read this. There's Romans chapter 2 and verse number 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. That deals with salvation. God is not a respecter of persons. God wants to save everyone. But God prefers some people over others. Now, God revealed to the prophet Ezekiel, there are some people he prefers over others. He did not say this just one time, but time and time again. God stated he would send judgment to Israel. And then he said, if Noah, Daniel, or Job were in a country, they would be delivered through their righteousness, but they would not be able to deliver any of their families. Turn with me now to Ezekiel chapter 14. That's Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. And I want you to see now how God thinks. That's Ezekiel 14, verse number 12. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when a land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver with their own souls by their righteousness, says the Lord God. As you read the rest of this chapter, why did God select Noah, Daniel, and Job? We have Moses, Joseph, and a number of other people that lived prior to that. But God simply said, these three men I prefer. And if they were in the land where I'm going to judge it, they will be saved. They could not save their families. Just like you and I today, we cannot save our families. I got to get saved by myself. My wife got to get saved by herself. Your children must come to Christ by themselves. If a man accept Christ, does it bring the family in? But God said, these men, Noah, Daniel, and Job. Now, the Holy Spirit showed it to me. And I started thinking, if God preferred these men, if he preferred these men, I'd like to know why. Because I like to be preferred by God. I want God to prefer me. So we're going to study today. And we begin this message today with Noah. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. That is Genesis, the sixth chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord, he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and a creeping thing and a fowl of the air. For repentance meet I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah now found grace before God. Let's look at the background now on Noah. You have this in the outline. If we set the creation of Adam to year zero, Noah was born 1,056 years later. Adam had died 126 years before Noah's birth, and 14 years after Seth had died. A number of the patriarchs like Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Methuselah were still alive when Noah lived. Noah's father Lamech died in 1651 and lived for 595 years together with Noah. Abraham was 51 years old when Noah died. Thus we can say that Noah had knowledge about the creation. He acknowledged that God said, I put enmity between your seed and her seed when he spoke to Eve and to Satan. He had full understanding of all these things. And so we can deduct then that Noah decided the rest of the world were in sin. But he decided he was going to walk with God. You and I today, we are living in a sea of sin. And there's all kind of different things around us. And if you really want to be different, you got to control your home front. And you do that with your television, with your computers. You control the way where you go, entertain yourself and so on. And the question is, are you walking with the Lord, a straight line, or are you feeding at the table of the devil? Noah had lived for 500 years when God announced his intention to kill all living flesh. 532. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japhet. Why did Noah stay with God? Why are you here in church today? You see, we have a free will. Today you made a choice to go and attend church here, to watch us. You didn't have to. No one told you that this is what you have to do today. You made a choice, free will, to be here today. When your friends are drinking alcohol, you can make a choice and say, I'm not going to drink with you, I want to drink with you. We have choices. We have a free will. Noah knew the past. He believed in a future redeemer. And he simply said, I'm going to go with God. When you accepted Christ, you made a choice and said, I want to be saved. I repent of my sins. I turn from my old ways. And I'm going to be walking with Jesus. When you got married, you made a choice. You simply said, I'm going to abandon all the women, all the men that you were with before, men and women. And you made a choice and said, I select this person to be married to and to stay with. It's a choice. It's a selection. Let's move up now to verse chapter number 6. And I want to read from verse number 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, they were fair, they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for they desire of flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every mighty nation had thought of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented of the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I am created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for he repents me that I have made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Of all the millions of people living at that time, only one person said, I will follow God. All the others were busy, enterprises, business, pleasure, all kind of entertainments, day and night, and they perished. Why did you seek the Lord? Repentance is a gift of God. And you have found grace in the eyes of God. If you turn out to Job chapter 19, that's the book of Job, the 19th chapter, we find here how they worship what they thought. That's Job, the 19th chapter. And you pick it up in verse number 20. My bone cleaves to my skin, this is Job speaking, and to my flesh, and I'm escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, all my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. Why do you persecute me as God and not sat with my flesh? Or that my words were not written, or they were printed in the book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, that he shall stand the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worm destroy his body, this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold. And not another, do my reins be consumed within me. Job was a descendant of Noah. Job was living some years later. And Job had learned from his ancestor Noah about the Redeemer. So when Noah walked around, he said, I know my Redeemer lives. And even if my flesh will be destroyed and I die, I shall see the Redeemer. Who is the Redeemer? Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, the justification of Noah came through the Messiah, the Redeemer. We look back to the cross. They looked forward to the Messiah. They didn't know how he's going to die. They didn't know exactly how things were going to happen. But they looked forward. and knew that the Redeemer lived. If you turn up to Romans 3:20, that's the book of Romans, the third chapter. Romans chapter 3. And you pick it up in verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all upon all that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation for faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, for the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and to justify of him which believes in Jesus. Noah was not justified by his works. He was justified by his faith in Christ. It was his faith in Christ that saved him, justified him. You and I are saved by grace. But we can make a choice every day. Every day I make choices. I can either walk with God or not walk with God. The perfection was his faith in a Redeemer. And if you look now in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 5, that's 1 John chapter 2. And you pick it up in verse number 5. But whoso keeps his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that says it abides in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that says he is in the light that hates his brother is in darkness, even at the now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, knows not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Love is from God. Agape love. And Noah was made perfect in his faith in a Redeemer. Thirdly, walking with God meant that Noah did not partake in the sins of the people of his days. Turn to Psalms 1. Psalms chapter 1. This is a powerful psalm. Blessed is a man that walks under the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Noah made a choice. You have to make choices. When you sit at your computer, you got to make a choice not to look at pornography. Charles and I were discussing the other day how hard it was years ago, that if you want to get into pornography, you had to go to porno shops, adults, bookstores. And people hesitated because someone could see them walk into the adult bookstore. But today, you sit in the privacy of your home, got the internet, With a click on your mouse, you can go to all kinds of different sites. You got to make a choice. When you go to the supermarket, the alcohol is there. I mean, they got eyelet valve, all kind of different types of alcohol. And when you go down the aisle, you make a choice. I'm not buying that. You make choices every day. When you drive down the road and you men see a beautiful woman, you can make a choice and say, well, I'm going to look the other side. I'm not going to look at that woman. And women do not have to lust. You make choices continually. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in a seat of the scornful. I hear people complain and says, well, you know, I'm so alone. There's no one like me. You know, I want to serve God, but there's no one around me. How many did Noah have? Not a whole lot. He had his dad, a couple of relatives, his wife. That was about it. Everybody's doing it. So be it, but I'm not there. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law does he meditate day and night. You want to know the secret? You read the Bible. You think about it. You meditate upon it. Doesn't mean you read the Bible 24 hours a day, but you read it and you meditate as you go around. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Choices. We have to make choices every day. Now, Noah walked with God like his great-grandfather Enoch had done. Turn to Genesis 5:22. That's Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Would you like to have that type of reputation? She is walking with God. He is walking with God. Let's look now in Hebrews 11:5. Second testimony to that. That's Hebrews 11. If you pick it up in verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let's slow down and think for a moment now. Let's say that you go to the supermarket and you ask, there's an item you can't find. And you ask a clerk, where do I find this product? If the clerk simply says, you go down to aisle number 3, they're doing it enough, they'll find it. You simply figure, well, you know, that doesn't help me. But if that clerk simply says, just a moment, put this stuff down, and said, I will walk down with you, and I will show you where it is at. You said, thank you very much. That clerk is pleasing you. You feel great about that clerk. You feel that this is a person that is pleasing me. Are you pleasing God? When you walk, are you walking in such a way that God says, man, I'm excited about this. He's pleasing me. I'm so excited about this. That's a secret. Now, Jesus told us what he wants. Turn to John 15:1. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. If you pick it up now, if you really want to know how God thinks, you're going with me now. Look here what Jesus said. This is what he wants. I'm the true vine, my Father the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth but fruit, that he bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean for the word that I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth my fruit. For without me you can do nothing. What does it mean to abide with Jesus? Let me try to explain that to you. Let's say you have a young man and a woman decide to get married. And they get a little apartment or something set up and so on. And the wedding takes place and they give the promise before the priest, or the pastor, whatever it is. And then afterwards, the husband says to the wife, "You know what? I really like this place we got. But I got some other place that I want to live. But I'm going to come and visit you from time to time. You're my wife. Yeah, I'm not going to have any other women. But you know, I got my own pad over here. I like to do my own thing. But every Saturday night, I will show up and we have a good time. But then Sunday afternoon, I'm taking off." Would you say that that man is abiding in his wife? He's not. So he simply says, "Oh, I want to get saved. Dear Jesus, save me. Forgive my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you. I don't have to go to hell and I can go to heaven. Thank you, Lord." Now, Jesus, you got to know this. I got a life to live. I got places to go, people to see, things to do. But here's what I tell you, Jesus. I might show up in church once in a while. And when I feel like it, I might even read from the Bible. And when I get in trouble, I will pray. But don't expect me, Jesus, to walk with you all the time. You're not abiding in him. You're unfaithful. If that's how you live, you don't have any power. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6 now. Genesis chapter 6. Now, building the ark. This is interesting. I want to bring that out to you right now. The greatest test for Noah was building the ark over a period of 100 years. You know the contractors here. Now, I want you to listen to me. You do not contract. Listen to me, too. Let's say that God is saying this to you. I want you to build a boat. Normally, you would simply say we're going to build it close to the water. Right? God said, I want you to build a boat in this pasture over here. There's no water, no river. Just build it on dry land. Well, God, I mean, I don't understand what you're thinking, but you know. Okay, you want a boat built there. How big of a boat do you want? The size of the ark was 45,000 tons. If you look upon an aircraft carrier from World War II, they're about 45,000 tons. That's a good-sized boat. Particularly if you never built a boat before in your life. Now, God says, what I want you to do, I want you to build this boat. Let's read now from Genesis 6:10 through 16. That's Genesis 6:10 through 16. Have you read this? Let me pick it up in verse number 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make you an ark of gopher wood. Room shall you make in the ark, shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And the window shall you make in the ark, and the cubit shall you furnish it above, and the door of the ark shall you set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shall you make it. Now, that's a pretty tall order. Where is he going to get the lumber from? Where is he going to get the manpower from? You don't build a big boat like that with yourself and three sons. That's pretty high. How do you hoist it up? How do you cut the lumber? Bring the lumber in. Noah had to simply hire ungodly people to work on his boat. And they worked for 100 years. You want to know why God preferred Noah? Think of this now. Here's Noah. They laid the keel. He's looking upon it. They're building up the hull. And everything else is getting higher and higher. And the sun is shining. It's never rained on the earth up to this time. People are laughing and saying, you idiot. I work for wages for you, but you're stupid. What are you building the ship for? On dry land. You are nuts. Now, 5 years of this? 10 years of this? 20 years of this? Would you have lasted? Would you have said, I'm out of here. I'm tired. I can't handle this anymore. I got to do something else. I just can't handle it anymore. We don't have the victory. We don't have this or that. You know, I can't handle it anymore. 50 years? Noah's still building a boat. Getting the planks up. First floor, second floor, third floor. 75 years had gone. Sunshine every day. People mocking. Most likely they were coming down in droves to watch crazy Noah build the ark. He must have been Disneyland of his time. Enjoy looking at this stupid boat. 80 years. Noah's getting older now. He's getting close to 600 years. 99 years. And Noah's still standing there. Every day, he must have preached repentance. Every day. Repent, repent, there's going to be a flood. How many times do you witness to people and they blow you off, they blow you off, they blow you off? Noah did that for 100 years. Do you understand how God prefers him? You and I can be faithful to God for maybe 6 months. Maybe 10 years. Maybe 15. And then we say, God, I'm out of here. Didn't work out. Here's what happened to Noah. Noah stayed with it. He heard from God. He believed it, it settled it, and he simply stayed with the program. That's the key. And then we read this. Verse 17, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is a breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is in the earth shall die. But with you I will establish my covenant. You shall come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your son's wife with you. God said, Noah, I will establish a covenant. You got a covenant with Jesus. When you accepted Christ, he covenanted with you. You have a covenant. But you know what? We are so impatient. I think there's no other nation on earth as impatient as the American people. And we're getting more impatient. It used to be, years ago, if you went to a restaurant, that you had to wait for half an hour before the food came out. If you go to a restaurant today and you have to sit for half an hour, where's my food? We out of here. Man, I can't stand this joint. They're not on time. We want things now, instant. Instant food, instant drinks, instant everything. Tax returns. You've seen the signs. You don't have to wait for the IRS. We will instantly cash it for you. Of course, with a price. They charge you. Noah simply stayed with it. Look in verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Why did God prefer Noah? First of all, he lived 500 years in an ungodly society. 500 years. Then he built a boat for 100 years. And Noah never wavered. Not one time did he waver and say, this is not true. He simply stayed with it. When the rains came, the Bible tells us this, that they had walked in the ark. That door had no hinges on it. It was left outside. And the Bible tells us that when they were in the ark, God closed the door and sealed it. Noah couldn't get out. If he wanted to. And then the rains came. And the people remembered. Noah talked about a flood versus water. First was just the ground was moist. Puddles. And then they began to rise. And I can just see them all running down to the ark. Standing around about 1,000 upon 1,000. Saying, Noah, we believe now. Now we believe. And Noah said, I can't help you. God shut the door. There will come a day of judgment. And at that time, after when Jesus comes back, you can't get saved. Now is the time. Now is the time to receive Christ. Tomorrow can be too late. You might be dead tomorrow. Who knows? If Jesus will come back. Look upon why I got these points of 5 points. Why did God love Noah? Number one, he was faithful to the vision God had given him. He was faithful to the vision. God has given each one of us a vision. What he wants us to do. Are you faithful to your vision? My vision is to preach, to teach, to write. I'm not supposed to be out making money. I'm trying to be faithful to my vision. Are you faithful to yours? Secondly, he did not waver from the vision God had given him. Do you understand that? Probably during the 100 years, there were delegations coming up and saying, Noah, let's talk some sense to you right now. There's not no God in heaven. There's not going to be any rain. You're wasting your life. Have some fun, man. Lighten up a little bit. Go and have some fun. Must have been many times people came to Noah. He never wavered from his vision. If you go back and look at history, Martin Luther, Charles Wesley, you go down the line of these preachers, D.L. Moody, you will find this. They never wavered from their vision. That's why they became successful. Edison, the inventor, had a vision of a light bulb. He never wavered. It took him 20,000 light bulbs before he got it right. Years. Behind his house was a pile of glass. Can you imagine after he had done 15,000 light bulbs? His wife coming out and saying, "Hey, Edison, when are you going to knock it off, man? It ain't going to work. Stupid. Don't be so, you know, dogmatic. Just leave it alone. Look at that pile. We spent all that money buying that glass and it just failed." 19,000 light bulbs. His wife must have been a drip on him. 19,500 light bulbs, still nothing working. And after more than 20,000, one worked, didn't explode. And he said, "I got it." What made Edison different from other people living at that time? They could have invented a light bulb. He had a vision. He stayed with it. He didn't deviate. He simply dug it in, stayed with it. And this is going to make the difference in your life and my life. Thirdly, he was determined to finish his portion of the vision. Now, you might not waver. Noah might have wavered after 85 years. He might have been steadfast and not wavered for 85 years. But the key is this. You want to stay unwavering until you finish. How horrible if God has you on a vision and you're about to break loose. And he says, "I can't take it anymore," and you drop it. And later on the next side of eternity, you will see how close you were to success. He was determined to finish. You know, there's a lot of guys got great beginnings, great upstart people, but they never finished. Finishing is the key. Fourthly, public opinion did not sway him. Public opinion did nothing to Noah. He said, "I don't care what these people say." How many of you have been lambasted by your wife or lambasted by your husband or relatives or children saying you're crazy, you're not good, you da-da-da-da-da-da? You simply do not worry about public opinion. And fifthly, Noah had never experienced rain or seen a flood. But in faith, he believed that what God had said was true. And that was good enough for him. If you have a vision, it might be that God says, "I want you to get a certain education." And you have a goal to go to school, build a business, or whatever it is. You never deviate. You say, "I'm going to stay with it until I finish. I will finish." You want to be successful? I've given you 5 points. Now turn to Luke chapter 9. The Gospel of Luke chapter 9. Charles and I were talking this week about all the people that have gone through this ministry. And Charles said, if all of them would have stayed, we would never have to ask $1 for a donation. We would never have to ask for money. If all the people that stayed, we would have been 10,000 and more. But they didn't stay. And they begin to list, well, they got offended, they got this, they got this, they got that, and the problems. Here's a scripture I want to really burn into your mind today. It's Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about service. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Are you looking back? If you put your hand on a plow, let me explain to you those days. The plow was a simple one, just one blade. You had a donkey or a horse or something, an ox in front of you. And I tried this about as a young man. I was on a farm for a summer. And if you try to plow and you look like this, you're going to go like this. You're going to go weevil in. You got to simply look at a tree or something down there. Put your hand on the plow like this. Tell the horse to go. And you keep looking forward continually. You don't look down. You never let go of the plow. And when you look back after you're done, you got a straight fur. Straight shot. Now, question is, are you going to hang on to that or are you going to let go? And then we're going to stop and close with Hebrews 11:1. That's Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I love these verses. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith. Let me take it back a few months. In the month of June, we were ready. We had the manuscript for book number one. I had paper that would last me probably maybe about 25 pages, book of 300 plus. So we started in September, and I printed one day a week. I didn't get any help because everybody else was busy. One day a week, we started about 8 o'clock in the morning, we printed about 10 o'clock at night. One day a week. And I could see the paper supply going down. But I just kept printing. And just as I was about out of paper, someone came to me and said, here's money, buy the paper. Have you bought 3 pallets of paper? Now, I needed ink. I needed a few other things. Every week, tired, I printed, and then we needed to have it proofread and everything else, and I had some people help me. And it was like building a mountain, and building a mountain, and then finally I came down to the end where we finished. And now, I got no covers yet, but I will have covers. We will have them. It's taking me a year for the time we finished the manuscript. We finished that about we started working the final one in January 2010. 1 year. And people around me said, let's just run it through the copy machine. Let's just do this and that, Don't do it. I said, God told me to print the book, finish the book. I'm going to finish it. I will. You're going to see me shortly bringing in the first copy, bound copy. It's going to shine in the lights. It will happen. You got to stay with it. You got to have faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated, he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. for before his translation he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What is God's purpose for our church, for this church? And you know the watchers, you're part of it. What is it, God's purpose? His purpose is to build a strong base, a home base, to raise up counselors that can counsel, cast out demons for people, minister to them in deliverance, to pray for the sick, to lead people to Christ, and in the last days, bring truth worldwide to a world that is swirling closer and closer to the coming of the Antichrist. That's God's purpose for us. You are vital. I cannot do this by myself. It's going to take all of us. And we need a vision. That resurrection life of Jesus Church is not going to fail. It's not going to go down. It's going to go up. Because God commissioned us. We haven't been at it yet for 100 years. I don't think we had to wait for 100 years. I think that victory is just around the corner. And when you are staying true to Jesus, the vision for the church while you are here, God will bless you individually. He will bless your personal life. And each one of us will have a part and a ministry in this body. The question is, do we have the perseverance to do it? Now, we looked upon Noah. You can look upon Daniel and Job and 2 other Sundays. But you got to right now. You can begin. 5 points. If you want God to prefer you, you know what to do. Buckle down. Get your hands into the hand of Jesus and pray and say, Lord, help me to finish strong. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for these moments we had here, Lord. As Lord, I don't consider myself any better than anyone else. But I want to thank you, Lord, that you give me faith and stamina and the desire to follow you wheresoever you go, Lord. And I pray right now, Father God, that men and women be challenged here today. Those that are in the building, those that are with us in cyberspace, let them be challenged and say, my Heavenly Father, I want to finish. I want you to prefer me. I want to abide in you. And I'm pressing in. Thank you, Lord, for touching people. And if you're watching, you're listening, you're not saved. And you might say, well, how do I get saved? Can I get saved? Yes. Ask God to forgive your sins. Ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Ask Jesus to come into your life and say, save me, save me. And he will. Those of you in the building, come and talk to the people. A lot of people can have an invitation in a few moments. You that are watching us, call us, write us. But most of all, call on Jesus. The altars are open. The elders are here. Deaconesses are here. You come. And if you had a need today, you might need a healing for your body. Maybe you want to rededicate your life. Maybe you're not saved. Come on up and talk to one of these people and say, pray with me. Help me. In Jesus' name, you come.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the first part in the series, The Secret to Success with God, and was entitled, Noah, a Man of Perseverance. God told the prophet Ezekiel that Noah was an individual who had pleased him, not just because he built the ark that saved his family from the flood, but because Noah walked with God, trusted him implicitly, and never wavered in his faith. God clearly had pleasure in Noah's life, but can the same be said for you? Are you swayed by public opinion? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Are you striving to please the Lord with your life? Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1277. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.